Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. Coming up this week, Disney Cruise Line releases itineraries for the first half of 2020. Disney and Fox agree to sell their share of Sky to Comcast, and the technology that runs the parking garages over at Disney Springs is ready for an overhaul. Plus, a little later on, we're going to take your questions for the team. All that coming up next from the Bob Barley Studio in Orlando, Florida. This is the Diz Unplugged. This is the Diz Unplugged, episode 1008 for the week of October 2nd, 2018. The Diz Unplugged is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel, experts at helping you plan the perfect Disney vacation. Visit them on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show, coming to you live from the Bob Barley Studio in Orlando, Florida. I'm your host, Pete Werner. Joined at the table this week by my good friends Charles Boda.
Hello.
Steve Porter.
Hello.
Rhino Clavin.
Hello.
Julie Martin.
Hi.
And back in the production nook, our producer, Mr. Craig Williams.
Howdy.
And welcome to the show, everybody. Hope you are having a good week so far. We're getting some rain today, but it's not too bad. Although Charles got...
Yeah.
Charles got drenched.
Yeah, well, I
should give a ride in a bike.
I said on the fix just an hour or two ago, 20% chance of rain. So either I'm wrong or we're getting all 20% on me this morning. Yeah, it's just like a little 4-minute monsoon because Florida is wonderful.
Now it's the end of the season. We're coming into our fall season now, and hopefully the weather is going to start getting a little bit cooler.
Yeah, but I looked on the 10-day forecast, and it's still, there's in 10 days and ahead, there's no day below, I think, 88.
Thanks. Well,
but 88 is good. I mean, 88's a start, right?
It's better than 98.
Yeah.
True. So I actually Googled, when does Florida get cold this year, and my computer exploded.
All right, a couple things in housekeeping first. John and Kevin are not here again this week. They are on vacation now. They went from an agent education program on the Wonder, I believe, or the Magic, I think it was.
Magic.
That went to Canada. And now they are on the Oasis, I believe, the Oasis of the Seas, Royal Caribbean, I think. I don't know. They're on some ship.
Yeah, they're gone.
They're on some ship, but they're not here. They're not here. They are coming back. When, I don't know, but they will come back. And I want to remind everybody about our November event, is what I'm calling it. Our marathon show, November 24th, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. We are, I am comfortable saying now that we are going to be announcing some new things that are coming. We have a couple things that I'm really excited about that we've been working on for a little while that we're going to be announcing sometime during that event. We're also going to have some special interviews that we're going to be airing during that event. And we're like coming up, like a lot of great ideas coming about how we're going to fill that 12-hour block. But I do want to let people know that the only time you're going to be able to see that in a 12-hour block is when we do it live. We are going to take pieces of that show and pull it out and put it up. But if you really want the whole experience, you got to watch it live. If I've got to sit here for 12 hours, so do you. Just saying. November 24th, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. It's the Saturday after Thanksgiving. We're going to be raising money for Give Kids the World. We're going to kick off our silent auction that day. Lots of really, really, really cool items coming in for that. If you have things you would like to donate for us to auction off, send it to the disboards.com Welcome Center at 6550 North Atlantic Avenue, Suite B, Cape Canaveral, Florida. I think it's 32920, but I'm not sure. Look up the zip code. Cape Canaveral, Florida. There's only one. We got a lot of cool stuff coming in. People are being really generous. I've got a lot of cool stuff here that I'm going to be auctioning off.
Rhino.
We should.
Well, we did once. And actually, that's how, and that's really how I became better friends with Tyler. He won.
We should auction off a date with Rhino. Ooh. Like date night with Rhino.
Just hands on the table the whole time.
I do have a question. If people wanted to...
That would be
to,
an unusual date for you.
If people wanted to give things to, you know, be one and they wanted to donate those items, when do they have to get them to Teresa by?
We are really asking everybody to have things to us by the end of the first week in November at the latest. So let's say November 7th. Because we need time to photograph everything. We need time to enter everything into the software for the auction. This will be the first time we're doing the auction completely online. Normally, we would do these at one of our events, and we would have the online component, but people would be in the room bidding on things as well. This time, it's all online. So really excited about that. It's been something I've been wanting to do. I've been talking about it since, I think, the 10th anniversary event we did for the show. That I wanted to do this. So I've also been talking about wanting to do a marathon show to raise money. So kind of doing both at the same time. But really excited about it, looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of people are coming in. And some people were intrigued by the comment I dropped last week about maybe auctioning off spots at the table. If you're interested, send an email, podcast@disunplug.com. How much you gonna donate? And intrigue me. For me to let you into my house, how much you gonna donate? We'll see.
This is how we all get replaced.
Have people pay me to do your job. Wow. That's a great concept. I hadn't thought of that.
To be fair, Tyler did buy a spot at this table.
And then he
for the 10th anniversary.
That's right, because we auctioned off a lunch here in the studio for the 10th anniversary. And Tyler was one of the people who won a spot. And that's how we got to know Tyler. And as a result of that, Tyler now works for us out in California.
So I do have a question from chat here. Michelle is asking, can we only donate Disney merchandise?
You can donate anything that you think is going to sell in a silent auction. Now, obviously, we're a Disney fan site, so obviously the Disney stuff is going to be interesting. But
I think something maybe if they have something Universal related, it would
anything. Yeah, I mean, if it's something of value that you think people would bid on, we're not going to be picky.
Yeah, in past auctions, it's been that whether it was the regional ones or the ones we've done, you know, stuff popped up from Broadway musicals and stuff like that. It's even if
actually Sean just got back from a trip. He was in New York and he went to go see Frozen the musical, and he brought some really cool stuff back from that for us to auction off, which I thought was cool. And actually Rhino was
wearing the
jacket. Yeah.
That's where
the
that
furry
came from.
Hood and the thing, and I got really chilly yesterday.
Rhino evidently has a tendency to just wear clothes he finds in random places.
Hey,
well, how do you think he dresses?
Aw,
you don't get staph infections by not doing that.
But yeah, absolutely.
You're not going to have a staph infection.
Oh, thank God.
Just so everybody knows. Sorry,
Julie inched her chair away.
I will tell you right now, Rhino is wearing a shirt from Walt Disney Imagineering, and I will tell you some of the things that we're going to be auctioning off are some very cool things that we picked up on our last visit to Mickey's of Glendale, which is the store at Walt Disney Imagineering, so we've got some cool stuff. But That's that. Want to send out a congratulations to our own Corey Martin. Not only is his birthday coming up in 5 days, October 7th, but Corey is also celebrating 17 years with the Diz. I hired Corey 17 years ago.
Wow. He hasn't aged today.
Yes, he has. You haven't. You haven't. We were just talking about this before the show. If you look at pictures of Julie from 17 years ago.
I was there at his interview. I don't know if you remember that. I was here visiting because I was in Louisiana.
I think you were here on a second interview.
And I sat down in the lobby of the, isn't it called Grosvenor? The Grosvenor?
It was the Grosvenor at that point. I was conducting those interviews at the Grosvenor.
Yeah.
And because, you know, obviously working out of my house then and now. I got a conference room at the Grosvenor. And that's where I was conducting interviews. And I tell the story all the time that Corey, there were 2 days of interviews set up, and this was right after 9/11. Okay, I'm the only guy in town hiring after 9/11, and we had 2 days of interview, full days of interviews set up. And Corey was like the middle of the first day. And I knew the minute he opened his portfolio and showed me his artwork and stuff like that, I'm like, okay, that's my guy. I felt sorry for everybody that came after him because, yeah, no, you were not going to get the
job.
You're
just sitting there fantasizing about how you're going to hire Corey.
Just like, when I know. And yeah. I tend to hire that way. When I'm certain about somebody, I'm usually right. And I knew what I needed at that moment. And he had the skill set. And turned out to be a really good decision.
The rest is 17-year history.
17 years. 17 years.
Congrats, babe. You're the hardest working man I know.
So, congratulations, Corey. Everybody reach out and say congratulations to Corey. And don't forget, on October 7th, blow up his Facebook page.
All he wants is a joke, people. Any kind of joke, okay?
I know, I saw that. There was actually some funny ones.
Oh, they're great.
On that thread.
It's so fun.
So, appropriate jokes. But, all right, what else? What else do we have for housekeeping?
It's also Down Syndrome Awareness Month.
Yes, it is.
So most of you know that our son Ferris has Down Syndrome. So I've sort of been posting for the past couple of days on Instagram and Facebook, trying to share that he's more alike than different. So for those of you that do follow me on Instagram, I videoed him waking up this morning. He really usually is okay getting up. I find him awake and he's ready to go. This morning, he was not having it. And I think, he's turning into a preteen kind of. He looked at me like I had two heads. I'm not getting up, Mom. And then I tried to pull his covers back, and he pulled them right back up. So he's more like you than you think. But we should try to spread awareness. If you have a local Down Syndrome chapter, like where you're from, and you feel like donating, do that. You can help so many people. It provides information for new families sometimes.
Which was absolutely invaluable, yes, for you and Corey.
Some associations make little baskets for new families that they take to the hospital. Any little bit helps. So
I can't believe how big he's gotten.
He's a giant boy. He weighs 80 pounds. He's over 4 feet tall. I mean, he tries to hang on my neck. I'm like, buddy, Mom's getting older. I can't do that anymore. So, but yeah, we love him. He's great. And so is his little sister. Mm-hmm. And she definitely has been such a wonderful addition to our family. And she also has been a lot of the reason that he is doing so well, I believe, because she teaches him so much, good and bad.
Well, good, good. All right. So anything else? Have we got anything else for housekeeping? No? You want to give a shout out to Patreon?
Yeah, I can. We forgot to do something before for that.
We did.
There will be.
We'll do it afterwards.
Yeah, there'll be a fun little video that goes up today. I'll just tease that. If you're on there, it'll go out to the $10 and up tier. So watch for that. But yeah, just a reminder that we have our Patreon, which is I'm reading 7 things at once, so my vocabulary is limited at the moment. But you can go on there. You can help support the day-to-day runnings of the podcast by donating whatever. You can donate once a month. You can donate continually. It can be one donation just to see all content, move on with your life, or it can be whatever you want it to be. We take donations anywhere from $1 to $100, and they have different perks as part of the tiers and stuff like that. I know that Tyler and Katrina just did a Google Hangout with a bunch of people on there this last week. We do stuff like that, mostly giving you early access to some content and some exclusive, like, behind the scenes looks and things like that. But it's pretty cool, and I've actually gotten to know a lot of people from this community through that site. So it's been, I've enjoyed handling it. So that's there. That's patreon.com/disunplugged if you want to check it out. Yeah, I don't know what else to say about that right
and
now.
We have our first bid for a seat at the table, $1,000 from Sean.
Oh.
I'm not going to use his last name because we try not to do that on the show, but Sean R. Bid $1,000, so that's interesting. Okay, you got my attention. I forgot, we raised a ton of money just doing that lunch.
Yeah, I think the lowest bid for the lunch
was like $1,800.
Yeah, I was going to say it was definitely over $1,000.
This is informal right now. We do have, Corey created a thing for people to bid, so we'll probably do that. That worked out well. But yeah, all right, so I'm watching you, Sean. I'm watching. All right. So anything else? Going once, going twice. All right. Let's talk about the news. So, am I doing that? Yeah, I've got this in the right order.
Craig am asked I doing me right, the news?
Craig asked me right before the show what order I want to do the stories, and I wasn't sure if I reordered them on my script or not. So, all right. So Disney Cruise Line has announced the first half of 2020. And for the first time in 5 years, they're going back to Hawaii. Oh, my God. Excuse me. I ate pizza right before. Keto pizza. Okay? Not regular pizza. It was keto pizza. Charles's girlfriend is an amazing cook, and she makes me some great food. And she made me this really delicious keto pizza with a cauliflower crust.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
It was really good. It was really good.
Her food is ridiculous.
Her food is amazing.
Yeah.
But anyway. The big news coming out of this 2020 release was that they're going back, first time in 5 years, they're going back to Hawaii. They'll be doing two trips, I believe, one from that leaves from Vancouver going to Hawaii. It's like a 10-day sailing, and it stops at several different islands.
I thought they were both 9 days.
9 days, nine, 10,
yeah,
whatever. But you,
9 night, 10 day.
You do some island hopping on it, and then going back to Vancouver before it starts, the Wonder starts its run. To Alaska for the season. And those always sell crazy. And I'm going to be honest with you. If you're thinking about a Hawaiian cruise and you look at the price of that and find it to be ridiculous, because it's going to be, because there's only two sailings and it's not done all the time. And so as the ships fill up, the price goes up. Back in 2014, I did Norwegian Cruise Line's Pride of America, the only cruise ship that is flagged in the U.S. because it never, in order for it to be flagged in another country and sail anywhere in the U.S., it's got to stop in a foreign port. So that's why these cruises for Disney are starting in Vancouver or ending in Vancouver, because they could not just dock the Magic or the Wonder in Honolulu and island hop without flagging it as a U.S. ship. The reason companies don't like to flag them as U.S. ships, because that means they're also subject to U.S. employment laws, which means they have to pay minimum wage, they have to pay overtime for over 40 hours, and if you know anything about how cruise lines work, that is not something they do. Norwegian, the Pride of America, is flagged in the U.S., so it follows all those U.S. regulations because it never leaves American waters. It only island hops. Starts in Honolulu, does an overnight in Maui, does two stops on the Big Island,
Kauai,
and overnights in Kauai before it heads back for Honolulu. And it was amazing. The ship itself is nothing to write home about. The ports are the stars of the show. So just throwing that, not trying to discourage people from booking Disney Cruise Line, but you've got 5 days at sea on that sailing, I believe. The other big news was, for the first time, Disney is going to be sailing out of New Orleans. And I gotta be honest, I was kind of surprised.
Let me just say, this is gonna give New Orleanians and people who want to cruise out of New Orleans a chance to not cruise on that horrible Carnival ship that I was on that should be sunk out in the middle of the ocean so fish can live in it.
Here was, and I don't know if it's changed, and I don't want to upset anybody in Louisiana, especially New Orleans. I really don't want to upset. I'm not trying to be mean. But the only sailing I ever did out of New Orleans was on the Freedom of the Seas, I think it was, the Liberty of the Seas. One of the larger Royal Caribbean ships. It was actually when I did an agent education program. Walter and I had done this sailing. And they put us up at a hotel, and we got into the room. They basically told us not to go out after dark, that it wasn't safe. And I'm like, okay, why are you bringing me here then? if I can't leave the hotel after dark. So is that
New Orleans is a dangerous city. It is. There's just no way around that. Just reading a news story last week about a woman who was hit in the thigh by a stray bullet. Okay? Tourist. Okay.
But Disney would not.
There is a lot of violence with guns in New Orleans. There is. There just is. There's, ever since post-Katrina, the violence has increased. So I would just say take your precautions. Don't be in an area that you feel unsafe in. Obviously, don't go down a dark alley alone. I would say stay in a group. Like, don't Like, it's, I wouldn't but say I don't go out after dark, but how about let's not be out after 2 a.m.?
I wonder if things have improved enough. Obviously, I think Disney would not stop there, let alone embark and debark from a port if it was really unsafe. So I'm wondering.
But isn't every place unsafe? I mean, there's a chance for things to go
wrong.
Well,
I've never been anywhere where there was a note in my hotel, don't leave after dark. that I've never had before. So I don't know if things may have improved or whatever. But New Orleans, a lot of people very excited.
Yes. So in 2020, on February 25th, is Mardi Gras Day. Everybody knows. Mardi Gras is on a Tuesday, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. So there's a 4-night Western Caribbean on 227. So you could hit Mardi Gras and a Disney cruise, or you could do a 7-night Western Caribbean on February 14th, and then you could do Mardi Gras after. So you could just celebrate Valentine's Day on a Disney cruise, and then come back and do Mardi Gras and hit some of the really big parades and have a great time. That's up to you, I guess. But it sounds like a fun time to me and to Corey.
And that would be really cool.
Yeah, it would be.
That'd be really cool.
Especially if you've never experienced either one of those things. Mm-hmm. That would be like the ultimate, just in my opinion, New Orleans and Disney. Whoop, yes.
Well, now, and things are getting interesting. John B. just offered $3,000 for a seat at the table.
Goodness.
So, getting interesting. Come on, Sean. Come on. So anyway, back to this. I'm sorry, Steve.
Oh, yeah. One of the cool things about it going out of New Orleans is that it's also the Wonder, I think, that's going out, which has Tiana's Place, mm-hmm. which is kind of cool that you go.
Cool tie-in.
Yeah, you go from
You're
New Orleans
and
then you go right into Tiana's Place. That's, I don't know. It's kind of a cool ship to have out of New Orleans.
Now, an important thing to note is that yesterday these sailings opened up for Platinum Castaway Club members. Today they're open for Gold. Tomorrow for Silver and DVC, I believe. And then Thursday it opens up to the general public. So I'm taking a look at what people are getting quoted on this boards. And we'll make sure we put a link to this in the show notes so you can see the kind of prices people are seeing. Let me get a good one.
While you're looking, I was just going to say that from the aspect of it being dangerous, I've only been to New Orleans once, but I thought that it was like any other big city, as long as you're smart about what you're doing. Like, when I first got there, the first thing I did was go to the World War II Museum, which is incredibly amazing if you're into
history. They have a lot of
war
great war
history.
Museums.
Oh, my God. It was incredible. And then I said, well, why don't we just walk to Bourbon Street and all the bigger tourist known areas, and started off and got like 3 blocks away and was like, nope, back to the car. We'll drive there and find a parking lot. So it's like just common sense. There's other cities, many
right,
that are
okay,
like that.
Okay, so I'm looking at some of what's that February 14th sailing you were just talking about. Now, keep in mind, These are early prices, so these are the low ones. As the ship fills, the price goes up. So by Thursday, that's the reason they tier it like this, where Platinum can book first, because that's going to be the cheapest price, then Gold, then Silver and DVC, and then everybody else. So by the time all the Platinum Castaway Club or the Castaway Club members have booked, the prices have started to go up. That February 14th, 7-night Western Caribbean cruise out of New Orleans, Cozumel, Grand Cayman, and Jamaica. A 5B, which is a veranda, regular veranda stateroom, for two people, no insurance, air, or anything else, $5,508. But a 5C was going for $7,639. Another 5C was going for four people, this one was. That's what this is. Okay, that $7,639 is four people, two kids, ages 12 and 9. The other one, a 5C with four kids, ages two kids, 16 and 15, was $8,000. So they're not insane yet for by Disney standards. Now, if you price this out at Royal Caribbean or another cruise line, yeah. But by Disney standards, this is not insane. They also have some interesting, the Southern Caribbean cruises going out of San Juan. Seven-night Southern Caribbean, that's Antigua, St. Martin, Martinique, Barbados, and St. Lucia. This is on January 26th. Category 6A, 4432 for two people. Not ridiculous. That's, again, a balcony stateroom. Right now, the prices are... Where the prices get stupid is when they release the second half of the year. And we're getting the Mediterranean sailings. And we're getting the Alaska sailings. That's where the prices start getting stupid. So some interesting... Right now, these numbers look... I'm not seeing anything here as I go through it. That's absurd. A 14-night westbound Panama Canal cruise in a Cat T, which I believe is a one-bedroom suite. That's concierge. $16,000 for two adults. For 10 nights or 14 nights in concierge on a Disney ship, that's really good, actually, believe it or not. I've seen it higher than that on a 7-night. Some interesting numbers. Head over to the Disney Cruise Line board. You can find, and like I said, we'll also have a link in the show notes page if you want to check it out, the kind of prices that people are seeing. Of course, you can put this work off on a Dreams Unlimited travel agent. They'll be more than happy to quote your cruise. I am an owner in Dreams Unlimited Travel, so just for full disclosure. But you also get a great shipboard credit when you book with us, and that can be combined with any deals from Disney or Disney Visa or anything like that. So dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. You can book these. I just have to get the plug in. All right. So moving on. We were talking last week about the battle between Disney/Fox and Comcast for control of Sky. And it appears that Comcast has won the battle. And we were speculating on the last show how that was going to work. Is, you know, Disney going to be a thorn in their side? Well, apparently the answer to that is no. Disney and Fox have agreed that they are going to sell the remaining 39% stake in Sky to Comcast. They are willing to sell their stake for $15 billion, $22.78 a share. If Comcast agrees to that deal, they take full control of Sky. And the statement the Fox released, quote, in light of the premium Comcast has agreed to pay for Sky, we and Disney have decided to sell 21st Century Fox existing 39% holding in Sky to Comcast. And the article goes on to point out that if this deal goes through, it's going to significantly reduce the debt Disney took on buying 21st Century Fox.
Yeah.
Was this the plan all along? Do you think, you know, somebody had speculated that Disney really didn't want control of Sky? They were driving the price up to do this?
Yeah. I'm going to say no. And the reason is because if they had gotten control of Sky, they've got the direct-to-consumer streaming service that's coming out. Having Sky and having all that European influence, already having a connection with, I think it's like 23 million subscribers that Sky has, already having those that relationship with the subscribers would allow them to launch their direct-to-consumer streaming thing that's coming out. That gives them a European venue for it and a very easily marketed.
Okay, I'm just going to play devil's advocate, though.
Yeah.
I'm going to play devil's advocate. I understand that, and I think you're right. But taking the other approach, Disney is Disney. There's a brand recognition there that Comcast could only dream of.
Mm-hmm.
That Comcast will never achieve. Not with Universal, not with anything they do. They will never achieve the brand recognition that the word Disney has. So... yeah, would the 23 million subscribers have made the launch of the streaming service for Disney easier? Possibly.
Yeah.
But do you think they're going to have any trouble reaching those 23 million people?
The reason I agree with Charles is last week I wrote a story about Ben Sherwood, who was president of Disney ABC Television Group.
Mm-hmm.
He is stepping down once the Fox deal goes through because he's been told basically by Iger that the president of what's his name? Let's see here, Peter Rice, who's the president of 21st Century Fox, basically will be taking his job, and so he was not stepping down right away or announcing that he was stepping down right away because he apparently was hoping that he could take over the if Disney had won Sky, that he could transition from his current role to that. But with losing Sky, he's now said, okay, well, I'm losing my job and I have no chance of taking over Sky because Disney's not going to get Sky. So I don't think, unless Disney was just fooling him and saying like, oh yeah, we're trying to get Sky, but not really. I don't know. I feel like that would be
okay.
Weird.
You saw the bloodbath that was the fight between Comcast and Disney over acquiring 21st Century Fox. Does anybody else think it's unusual that Disney just pretty much rolled over and played dead on this?
It works differently, given the fact that it took place with a British company, right? So we had months and months of going back and forth with Disney Comcast for Fox, which I think, in the greater scheme of things, was a much bigger deal for Disney to get their hands on. But when it comes to Sky, the Brits work differently. So they had a couple rounds of going back and forth, and then they called a special auction to take place, where everybody got, you know, pretty much a their final, you know,
their sealed bid.
Yeah, their sealed bid. So the way it operates over there, they didn't have that same system of extending it and extending it and extending it to let the money build up. What I think happened is it was almost, I don't want to say a win-win, but it was a very positive situation for Disney. Had they gotten Sky, then they do get the benefits of Sky. If they don't, now they're going to get money back. And all of that stuff that they put in for, you know, it's not just the Fox purchase, but they're still trying to get money back that they invested in BAMTech to launch all these streaming things. And until they get success, like they did with ESPN Plus, until the new streaming service gets that, has a successful launch, that is just, you know, wasted money. That's they need a return from that, but they won't get that return until 2020. So right now their books look terrible, and fiscal 2019 is not going to look great. Each quarter is not going to look great. They have no returns yet. So this is going to make them look like the successful company they're hoping to appear as. It'll appease investors a little bit because they'll have money back. They'll be able to say, okay, our books are a little better, but we're still not going to shine bright until about 2020 when this direct-to-consumer thing launches. And that's the purpose of all this investment. So,
well, I just think it's interesting.
I'm looking forward to seeing what their next fight with Comcast is. I'm hoping a hostile takeover of the moon, maybe the two of them can just go at it. Because it just seems like every 6 months, they're just going to fight over a new thing.
If Bob Iger really wanted this, I just don't think this would have been the tact he took. I'm starting to wonder if this was not just...
There's only so much money they can put out there without looking insane.
Exactly. They spent too much on Fox. They just couldn't. They couldn't justify more. Mm. So.
All right. Finally, interesting story that was provided to us by Paul Brinkman, who used to write for the Orlando Sentinel. He now freelances. He's freelancing for us. He found this story about the parking garages. If you've been to the parking garages at Disney Springs, you know that, you know, as you pull in, there's a tote board that tells you how many spaces are open on each floor. And then when you get onto a floor, each row has a display that says there are four spaces open. First of all, half the time it's wrong. But you know, that was considered, ooh, look at that. Well, apparently, Disney has filed notice with Orange County that it is ripping out that technology. And it intends to replace it with a new system from a company called Indect Parking, which has been, according to the article, developing controversial technology that uses cameras to track and store visitor license plate numbers. The benefits are that such a system can help people find their cars, besides telling you where the empty parking spaces are. Right now, The system basically just identifies that there's a hunk of metal, mm-hmm. your car, in this space, and that's how it determines whether or not there's anything open. This this system is a little more sophisticated, but apparently after we published this article, Disney felt the need, Reedy Creek Improvement felt the need to clarify that they are in fact not going to be taking pictures of license plate. I think that bothered them. Mm-hmm. And the statement from Reedy Creek, quote, privacy certainly was one of the factors that came into our decision. How far do you take technology and where do you draw the line on privacy? License plate images could become public records. We don't think there's any value in that. The point is telling people where they can park quickly. But according to the spokesman, the current system is from a company called Q-Free TCS Systems. And Reedy Creek was openly saying that the system had problems, that they could not remotely monitor that system. If they had to monitor the parking system, they had to get in their car and drive to the garage. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the reasons that they wanted to get rid of it and that there were problems with the software and things like that. Of course, this company, Q-Free TCS, is saying they've corrected those things. I don't think they're very happy about this. But now I wonder, we saw what it was like when they were building these garages. And we joked all the time that Universal could open, could announce a major, major attraction and open it, build it and open it. And half the time it took Disney to build a garage. And we all remember the nightmare that traffic and parking was at Disney Springs. So I wonder how much of an impact this is going to have when they pull this system out and have to replace it. These garages going to be down for a certain amount of time? I mean,
I tried to go there the other day and the Lime garage is closed. I don't know if it has anything to do with this. It could be totally unrelated.
Closed for capacity or just closed?
No, closed, like coned off.
No cars parking in there?
Yeah. Wow. It was in the middle of the day, though, so I don't know if that was just a temporary thing in the middle of the day or what was going on, but I hope, I'm actually down for this change because I have noticed the errors that it causes all the time. Like Pete was saying, it'll tell you, you know, there's two spaces available and you go down and
there's no space.
There's no space.
I don't use it.
Yeah.
I ignore it. I'm like, no space is available. Well, yeah, right.
Well, that's part of the issue, too. It's on people being patient and calm, saying like, okay, it says there's two spaces left on this entire floor. I know I'm going to get one. Meanwhile, there's probably about 30 cars just circling, mm-hmm. also looking for those. So it's like, just go up the one extra floor. I know it's an elevator, escalator, staircase, walk down. But when the fifth floor is saying that it's got 500 open spaces, but you're like, I've got to get the second floor because I want the easiest access, that's just, you need to change your lifestyle with that. It's, well, just a little extra time.
I have to assume if they're doing this, which it looks like they are, and if they're starting it, they cannot be doing this after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, the holidays. No, God, it's going to be
crazy.
Can you
imagine?
Yeah.
On a good day, Disney Springs is a nightmare on the holidays. Can you imagine if one of the garages are out of commission?
I don't understand why they're building the other garage right now. I forgot what it's going to be called. What is it, like watermelon or
strawberry? No, there's a strawberry
peach.
Lot.
Something. It's another fruit.
Guava.
But I don't understand why they didn't wait to make this to do this change until the other one was done. Right?
Yeah, that's like the weirdest part for me is that you're like, why didn't you just cycle through? They want everything to be under construction at the exact same time. Well, they're like trying to break a record.
I think part of it too is that they had the with the old Q-Free TCS or whoever it is, with the old designers, I think they had a contract for a specified amount of garages that they'd be working on. So they went through with the new one being built and then decided, okay, contract's up. We need to replace this because it's not working. I took Michelle over there last weekend or so, and she hadn't seen it before. And she's like, oh, wow, this is really nice. The, like, two spaces open, it just tells you that. And I'm like, yeah, but it doesn't work. So if it says seven, then you know there's at least two and park in it.
Speaking to that, one of the quotes Paul got from this company was, Reedy Creek has not informed us that they're ditching our technology. Mm-hmm. We've heard rumors, but we still have a contract to provide the technology for a third garage. Mm-hmm. Hmm. So how this is going to work, I'm not sure. But just be mindful of the fact that, you know, I hope they don't screw this up for the holidays. Because not for nothing, it's October. It's October.
Yeah.
You have effectively 6 weeks to do this or do nothing until January.
Yeah.
So we'll find out. All right. That's going to do it for the news. Let's go ahead and move on to rapid fire. And I'll speak slowly so Charles can pull up his rapid fire on his phone. And we'll go over to you, Charles.
Okay. So I actually did this for the fix, so I know it. I'm not used to sitting this close on the side, so usually well, you guys are doing rapid fires first. Refillable mug news. Guests staying at the Animal Kingdom Lodge and the Caribbean Beach, Coronado Springs, I'm sorry, Animal Kingdom Lodge and Coronado Springs Resort, since there's refurbishment going on at both of those. The guests are going to be, if guests purchase refillable mugs at those resorts, they will be able to use them for both water parks and any of the miniature golf places on property. So you can use it out at Blizzard Beach, Typhoon Lagoon, Winter
Okay. Summer. How random. Like, is that not the most random thing I to thought, supplement?
Okay, I see Steve okay. smiling to my right, and I'm like, I'm doing something stupid, but I'm not going to address it.
No, you're not doing anything stupid. No. Disney is. No. And it's random.
Water parks and the mini golf courses?
So we're going to, you know what? Because we're constantly under construction, and you always have to look at a crane and a pile driver on your vacation. We're going to give you access to sodas at places you don't go.
those golf courses are going to see an influx of guests.
Right, all of a sudden everybody's going to go running with their refillable mugs. You want to make this refillable mug thing a thing? You want to really get everybody's attention where you can jack the price of those mugs up by maybe 50%? And people will be happy about it. Let us refill them in the parks. Give us a place in every theme park. I can buy a refillable mug for the day at Universal Parks. And not only that, all over the place, they have the Coke Freestyle machines, which is the greatest invention since fire.
He really loves those.
I will not even be thirsty, and I see a Coke Freestyle machine, and I must go.
Can I make a confession? We will be
Are you coming
all,
out.
We will all be in a place where you will see a freestyle Coke machine, and we'll say, guys. Pete's noticed that there's
I actually have a video of Pete seeing one at the Grand California. He's like, get over here. Film me using this. Yeah. He's like waving and yelling in the restaurant about it. He's like, this is amazing. And I'm like, this is the third video
I will make a confession. I seriously inquired about getting one in the house.
You know they make table, the countertop ones now.
They will not. Ones. The freestyle machines. You have to be a retail location, and you have to have... What the hell's all over my hand? You have to be...
Coke syrup.
You have to be a retail location with a certain amount of revenue.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, retail location, I could get away with saying like the Welcome Center was a retail location. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I can get Cherry Vanilla Coke Zero, and it's like the best thing since sliced bread. I get all these different flavors of like Coke Zero. Mm-hmm. And I love Coke Zero. And I don't know. Every time I see it, I lose my damn mind.
So if anybody ever wants to kidnap Pete, get a van.
That's the way to do it.
Put a freestyle machine in the back of the van. He will not question it. He will just walk in. You see they're putting them in unlabeled marked van, white vans now? That's
does
great.
Does the van have a refillable mug?
Yes, better have the mug or he won't go in.
Only if you stay at Animal Kingdom Lodge.
and that's really what people want. People really don't care if they can use the refillable mugs at Typhoon Lagoon.
Oh, yeah.
They care that they can use them in the parks. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, I mean, First of all, Disney, the soda doesn't cost you any money anyway. Mm-hmm.
It's also really hard to miniature golf and hold a cup. Don't you need both hands to golf?
That's a good point.
That's a very good point.
You're just spilling soda.
It's like, hold on. Swinging I'm going to get it, I swear.
Drinking it down a water slide, just sloshing everywhere.
Well, in the parks, it would even be helpful just for freaking water. Because right now, if you want a water cup, you have to go up and wait at a quick service restaurant, and then they'll either give you the smallest one that's mostly just ice and a little couple drops of water, or if you get lucky and you wait for a long time, you'll get a really big one.
Hold on. Newsflash. John B., $3,000.
Wow.
Not 3,001?
Because we had a 3,000, didn't we?
Yeah. Oh, did I already say that?
Yeah, you did.
This is the Price is Right, people. You got to $1 it up.
He's just really excited about that.
Joe, we have two people willing to bid.
All right. If someone can get a Coke Freestyle machine in this house, you have a guarantee.
Automatic bid.
I'll give you a job. I'll give you a job. You don't have to do anything. Except maintain the Freestyle machine. Yeah, that will be your job.
I have a soda butler now.
All right. Well, let's go. Thank you, Charles. Steve.
Yes. Over at Hollywood Studios, an animation courtyard, Jake the Neverland Pirate will be going away on Sunday, October 7th. So if you're...
Corey's birthday.
Darn. That's where I was planning to take Corey to meet Jake.
I know. He's so bummed. But yeah, so some of the Disney Junior characters will still be there, like Doc McStuffins and Sophia. This is in order to make room for
Vampirina. She is a vampire ballerina.
Excuse me.
As you do.
As Tyler says, Goth McStuffins.
That's awesome.
That's pretty great.
But yeah, so that's the news.
Don't get me started on Doc McStuffins. There's so much inappropriate going on there. But all right. Well, thank you, Steve. Righto.
Okay, so mine's pretty quick. Spaceship Earth at Epcot, as you know. We'll have some adjusted hours that started yesterday and go through this Thursday. It's going to be closing at 8 p.m. for routine maintenance. Like I said, that started yesterday. If you had a FastPass Plus for it, a selection for it, you're going to get like one of those other... They give it back to you. So that's that. It's going to be back to normal by Friday on October 5th.
Awesome. Thank you, Rhino. Julie.
Okay, so I picked this because it's happening on Corey's birthday, and I did not realize it's Disneyland. But if you are in California on October 7th, you can get a complimentary Star Wars button at the Star Wars Launch Bay, which is in Tomorrowland. This is in honor of Star Wars Resistance that's going to air on the Disney Channel at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And this is supposedly something that's following Star Wars The Force Awakens. There will be two people reprising their roles. Oscar Isaac and Gwendolyn Christie.
Ooh.
So for those of you who know who that is.
That's Captain Phasma and Poe Dameron.
Yes, that is what it says.
Yeah.
So get your button, people. And only while supplies last. They don't have enough for everyone, apparently.
Okay. Thank you, Jules. Gregory?
Okay. Mine's the great news of today, and that is that reservations are now open for Sebastian's Bistro at Disney's Caribbean Beach Resort. So if you don't remember what Sebastian's Bistro is, it's described as a casual, family-friendly table service restaurant and will feature a menu that combines Latin and Caribbean flavors and market-fresh ingredients served up with a warm island hospitality.
So it shutters with different name.
Waterfront views. You know, it might not be. So
when is it opening?
When is it opening?
He doesn't know.
I think it's next Monday.
Yeah,
I think.
I genuinely can't remember. So I was just really going to focus on the whole reservation aspect of it because that's what people want to know is when can they make their ADRs? They want to make them. There's also like all the menu items that are going to be around that they will offer, like skirt steak, chimichurri with crispy yuca. I'm not going to talk about it all. It's Caribbean food, so it's most likely going to be Caribbean style.
The most
food.
Bizarre part of the menu to me, though, is that it's Sebastian's, but they serve crab cakes.
I was going to ask that. Like, I wanted to know.
I don't know. If you go along with like the theming of Disney, that just seems like he's serving his friends.
I think Disney gave up on being consistent with theming a long time ago.
Claribel Cow.
You said it opens Monday?
I think so.
Okay.
I could be wrong now.
Are we taking office pool bets on
whether
crap or not?
I don't think I ever went to Shutters, so I don't
Well, I'll tell you, I had one of the most famous dining reviews ever done on this show was John and Kevin's review of Shutters. It's up there with Sad Little Crab Cake. And then, like, a couple months later, I'd gone over and done it, and I had a really good experience. But generally speaking, Shutters was considered not good. So I wonder.
If it's as bad as Amatista Cookhouse is over at Universal at Lowe's Sapphire Falls, that's their Caribbean sit-down restaurant like this. If it's as bad as that, then it's not going to be a good sign. I don't. Maybe there's just a curse with Caribbean restaurants.
How about
I also don't go to Bahama Breeze?
Maybe that specializes in Caribbean food. Yeah, you know,
I think it's because the laid-back lifestyle also transcends through the entire experience. No,
what's the way you were going with that?
No, it's the same way Californians are lazy. It's like anytime you go to California and you want to wait for something, it's like, okay, well, I can get my Starbucks coffee instead of in like 5 minutes, it'll take me 15. Okay. It's just laid back lifestyles, things move slower.
So my wife just texted me that yes, it will open on Monday. That's the first day you can make reservations. Who knows if it will like soft open or something, but
I always worry whenever there's like, it's going to sound terrible, but whenever Disney opens a restaurant like with a really flavorful or spicy cuisine, though, because like Caribbean food is great if the spices are done right, but sometimes they will take these things and they'll like, oh, well, we want it to be like have mass appeal, so we're going to take like something that's made to be spicy and make it really mild so that you don't get the flavor from it. So that's my
well,
worry.
We'll see. We'll see how it is. So we'll definitely add that to our list of things we have to review. All right. Well, thank you for that, Craig. That will do it for Rapid Fire. We have been putting out calls for questions on Facebook, and I believe we're also going to ask folks in our chat room for their questions, and Rhino has been curating these throughout the show.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see it.
Yeah.
So what do we got, Rhino?
All right, so I picked some that are kind of all over the place. I tried to give ones that would be a fun discussion here, but I thought Marcy Smith had a good one. That's now that Disney is seemingly cutting back on attraction capacity during historically slower times of the year, do you think it's better to go during more crowded times when rides are operating at full capacity and parks are open late? What do you guys think? It's kind of like because she's making a valid point. You're going to get more out of the day if you're going when it's open later. And even though it's busier because they have all the cast members going there, maybe the wait times aren't going to be as high as they are in the slower times because they haven't cut down on people yet. But.
Well, you know, the lines are certainly an issue when the parks are crowded, but so is existing in the parks when they're crowded. So it really depends on what part of it really bothers you. Does the extra weight on the attraction bother you more than the fact that you're shoulder to shoulder with humanity every second that you're in the park? See, for me, I have a lot more anxiety navigating crowds down Main Street or just in general areas than I do with a line. So for me, I would rather do the slower times of the year and because it just is a whole different, the experience changes. And I think this is just obvious, but the experience changes when, you know, you realize, oh, the park really isn't that crowded, even though, oh, you know, it's 45 minute wait for Small World, which I think is overselling it, but, you get my point. I would be happier with that experience. Oh, the park's not that bad today. Than I would of, oh dear God, everyone on the continent has come to this park right now.
Mm-hmm. Also, I think with proper planning and getting fast passes when you need to get them for the proper attractions and, you know, doing what you need to get in line when the lines are short, maybe if that means you have to go to rope drop or whatever, and then having an empty park when it's the middle of the day and maybe it's your lunch, you can at least find a seat at a table at your quick service.
But here's a question though. You know, we talk about the need to plan, right? This is a military operation. These vacations. At what point is it a good idea to have an existential experience where you just kind of wing it?
For me, it's easy to say. I do that all the time.
Well, I'm saying, thinking about people who have to travel here. At what point do you say, you know what? I wonder what it would be like if I wasn't sitting on the phone at 7 a.m. 6 months before my trip to make a reservation at a restaurant, and I just kind of went with what was available the day I got there.
I think you'd describe it a Disneyland experience almost, because the restaurants you can make ahead of time, but you can't make any fast passes till day of, so you kind of do have to just like. It's like when we went for the ABD and we stayed for the couple of days after before we did our next project with Eli. I was just like, okay, I have a list of things I would like for you to experience, but we kind of like, if it was busy, I moved on. You know, we wanted to eat. I wanted him to try some stuff, but if it was like really busy, I was like, all right, next one. Let's go to the next one. Or, you know, you kind of play it by ear. And honestly, I think now that you're saying that, I feel like maybe that's really something about Disneyland that kind of has that.
And I realize that the people in this room absolutely have more existential experiences. We live here.
Yeah.
So we can go whenever we want. But from the standpoint of people who have to travel here, do you think there's a threshold? Okay, we've been to Disney 10 times. We've done everything there is to do at Disney World. You know what? Instead of driving myself insane with this planning, and I get planning is part of the fun. I get that. But now that what you're planning to do is end up in a place that's very crowded all the time, at what point do you say, okay, I'm just going to go and experience it and just have fun? And
I don't think there is one for people who seriously have a passion about Walt Disney World. I know there's a small chunk out there who do say, yeah, no, we come down and we do what we want to do. But I think about when my sister started the college program down here, we came down and started doing trips multiple times a year. And even though it was mainly to visit my sister, we were still making all the same plans like we would if it was our normal vacation. So even like it's not until now, even now when my parents come down to visit, that still leaks into it where, okay, well, we do have our dinner reservation for this and we have this that night. We're seeing fireworks that night. So, yeah, I don't think it ends.
Truly. Is it a whole day that they have planned? Because you're saying a reservation for this and we want to see these fireworks. So they're picking specific things that they want to do and not going gung-ho.
Sometimes it is full days. Okay. So it's, I think for true Disney people, Disney World specifically, I don't think that while some people can give that up, I think for the majority, it is part of the fun.
You can go.
I think part of the difference too is whether you're solo, whether you're with a couple who's either like you haven't had kids yet, you're not planning on having kids, or you're past that age where you need to take them. So people outside of families, like that family having kids you have to look after, or like group events, that's a large amount of planning. It's much easier to wing it. Most of the people
I don't think you can do existential with kids.
Most of the people I see who have a wing it mentality are either like adults in their early 20s or retirees who are just like, we don't care what happens, we just love being here. Mm-hmm. But they don't have to plan around other people. You know, you don't have to worry about the needs of who's cranky now. We have to do this. We have to find that place, you know?
I think if you want a true Disney vacation that you can wing it, I agree Disneyland certainly more than Walt Disney World, but I also think Disney Cruise Line, because you can kind of wake up in the morning and decide whatever you want to do on that ship.
It's kind of decided for you. That's a good point. Agreed. Okay, I got another one. This one's a little easier, a little more streamlined. So this one's from Trenton Nesbitt, and they said, if you had to get rid of one mountain, Splash, Thunder, or Space, he threw in Everest, but I'm going to keep it to the Magic Kingdom.
Space.
Oh, excuse me. Which one would you scrap? Now we know we know Julie's answer.
Splash and Thunder can never go away, ever.
I disagree. I think it's if I wouldn't want to see any of them go, but if I had to scrap one mountain, it would be Big Thunder.
Really? Oh, wow. Okay. Charles, what do you think?
Magic Kingdom, space.
Yes.
Okay, Steve?
Oh, man. This is too much. Because I said Thunder. No.
We've been through this.
Always
first impression.
Yeah. My gut reaction was Thunder, but I just said on a recent best and worst episode.
You're correct. Next.
Craig?
Oh, space. 100%.
Yay! Okay. Yeah. I, as much as I wouldn't want to see it go, I think I would agree with the space solely because there's a lot more theming in the other ones. I would. At Thunder Mountain, if you come for that, I'll come for you in the night.
Yes, me too.
So, okay, I've got one I'm going to ask you now, but don't answer it now. We'll come back to it, okay? You just have to think about it for a second, because I thought this was a pretty cool one. They said, Fabian says, for each member of the team, which Disney character most resembles that person? So I thought it'd be fun if somebody...
Oh, I didn't know who I am.
you got to think of somebody else, I think.
Oh.
Okay, so it's personality, not looks. Like, who do you think they identify with? I would like to see what Pete comes up with. So... mull on that for a second. But my next question is, which I thought was cute, was Stacy asks, what one thing brings that special Disney feeling to you? Is it an item? Is it a smell, a food, a phrase? What will give you that happiness when you're not in the parks? Do you have something that kicks in that kind of thing? For me, I know it's weird, but it's that like smell of fresh baked cookies really makes me think of like you're on Main Street, and it does it when I'm on Main Street. I think I'm at home, so it's a weird tangled, like it gives you that. I think about Disney and I think about a warm chewy cookie. So so
that's some ASMR happening right there.
Pete's whispering.
I knew you were gonna ask me first. I don't know, balloons.
Balloons, that's a good one. I
mean, I
can see that.
I like seeing the giant thing of balloons. I actually really, I would love one day for there to be like a smaller, lightweight person like trying to keep themselves on the ground.
You want to see a floating short person.
A cast member. Yeah. I just think that would be
like
so
a,
fun.
Yeah, like
but
a
anyway,
dainty cast member.
You know, they let people take photos with them, which I think is really neat. You know, I'm surprised they're not like, no, you have to buy one to
do this. They did to Eli. They were very mean to him when he asked the other day that Disney Springs, they was holding the thing. And he was like, oh, hey, can I do one of those photos where they like have the balloons behind you? The guy went... didn't even look up and went, no.
You're a grown adult. Move on.
The saddest thing for me is when I see one of those very expensive Disney balloons that has accidentally been let go. Mm. And I'm like, oh my gosh, there goes $15.
That happened.
And the environment.
That happened to us in California. A guy bought a handful. Like, he probably had 20 or so balloons. Whew. And then just let them go. All for fun. And it was mind-boggling.
Do not release balloons into the air, people. It is not good for anyone. Humans, animals.
One came floating down behind my townhouse the other day. Like, probably a couple weeks ago.
Just a Disney balloon?
Yeah, Disney balloon.
Like a sign of the apocalypse just falling from the sky. What about you, Craig? Do you have something that you brings you back to Disney when you're out there?
Yeah, this one's going to be really weird and specific, but for some reason, the march of the cards from Alice in Wonderland, the do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah.
That's in, like, the train station. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you'll hear that out front. But then it also was one of the songs in the TV loop inside the resorts back when it was, like, almost... it wasn't synthesizer music, but it was all very, like, muted tones on it. Like, so sometimes that would be on in the background when you'd be napping or before you go to bed. So it's, like, anytime I hear that one for some particular reason, it just... instantly connects me back to Walt Disney World. I can't explain it.
That's a good one. Do you have one, Charles?
I do. It's one of the few things that like I've kept with me since I was different versions of since I was a kid related to the parks. Plastic sword from Pirates in the corner. And it's the one thing that I always got on every single trip.
Oh, yeah, you told me that story.
And as an adult, it was the first thing I bought when I started going to Disney again as an adult. Pirates plastic sword, and they actually pretty much sell the same one that I used to get when I was a kid too. They have fancier ones, but I just buy the same one.
I always wanted an invisible dog.
I'm gonna
no
answer
one ever bought me one.
Somebody's question in the chat room. Yes, someone did just pour a Coke Zero.
Because I have no freestyle machine.
Cherry Coke Zero.
It was funny. I could still hear the shh, and it came right up. But what do you think, Pete? Do you have something that brings you back when you're not there, or when you lived in like New Jersey and still?
John and I, once we started staying DBC, and they had the VCRs in those days in the room, and we would bring a bunch of blank tapes and we would just record the propaganda channels. So like all the commercials that they just run about, you know, about Disney World. And then when we'd be home, we just like run those constantly. So that was what we used to do.
Yeah.
We used to record that. And Bush music. We put like, take the video recorder and turn it on and just like put it in a Bush just to record the loops.
Oh, I thought you were just a big fan of Bush, like the band. Like, I was like, what?
No, we called the Bush music, you know, music that comes out of the bushes.
Yeah.
So we did stuff like that.
Oh, that's good. Cool. Well, see, well, it worked out for you.
Bush got very excited. Gavin Rossdale?
Yeah, I know. That's what
I am
thinking.
So anti-Gavin. Cheat on Gwen, I hate you.
Does anybody have character things yet? Because the chat room seems to think that I'm Tigger, apparently, is the consensus here.
No. As soon as you you said it, Queen of Hearts.
It's because she has the massive head.
The massive head and the attitude.
That's only in the real version.
I get Nick
Wilde
sometimes.
The cartoon version of her head is not that large.
Yeah.
I think you want to be Nick Wilde.
No, well, my friends do. It's because I don't like people touching me, so... but
no, yeah. Queen of Hearts. And from now on, every time you're in the park and you see the Queen of Hearts, be like, oh my God, he was right.
I need to go find the character to have the photo with her, but no, anyone else have one? I don't know. Don't all look at me. Look at each other.
This is difficult.
Okay.
I feel like Craig is Scar. Because
Thank
he's
you.
Very
oh, well. Yeah, I could see that. Right? And I like Scar. Scar is.
Does that mean he's going to knock
down
the mountain?
He's going to throw me off a cliff.
Yeah. I take that as a compliment. Jeremy Irons is a treasure. So, thank you. Thank you. Be prepared.
The only one who cared about the hyenas. Us hyenas, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Steve reminds me of Piglet a little bit.
Of who?
Oh. Piglet.
Oh, I don't know.
Do you know who else? Oh, you're holding yourself like Piglet right now, too. You're very like.
Is he always very afraid?
The one that I agreed with that we were assigning what Muppets characters we were, and you guys were cracking up when I said I feel like I'm Scooter.
Oh, yes,
you are.
Yes, you are. Oh my goodness! That's what we should have done. We should have went by property. But speaking of properties, there were two different people that asked the question. So Ryan says, "With the acquisition of Fox and Disney's ever-growing library of properties, if you could
library."
If you could add one, I like that library pie. If you could add one IP that is newer to Disney, that's not Marvel, what would it be and where? And then
what?
Yeah, I'm confused.
So let me read the next one. Patrick says, is there something IP or even something, say, Universal does that is not incorporated in the parks that you'd like to see, and where would you like to see it? So essentially, Disney now has a brand new library that they can use that is in – it can't be Marvel characters – something from Fox that you want to see in a Disney park.
Oh, God, I don't even know what Fox...
Alien.
My mind always jumps to Alien, too, honestly.
Alien.
It depends on how things go, whether the X-Men joins the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
No, it can't be Marvel.
But it's not yet.
Okay.
True.
It's not.
Well, it is a Marvel property. Regardless.
No, it isn't. Well, not Marvel Cinematic Universe. Yet.
Well, okay. But...
Magneto was right.
Do you think, you know, Alien, the original, has a good shelf life? It's still a phenomenal film.
Oh, yeah. Excellent
right?
movie.
Do you think Disney reboots that series in a serious way?
I do think it is a series that maybe still has potential that's still not done yet. That's the, you know, especially with the last movie kind of left off on a cliffhanger. But, I don't know. Do I see them doing like a PG-13 version of Alien? I still think it could be scary, exciting space adventure for sure. I don't know though. Reboot. Craig, what do you think about that?
Probably not. Okay. No.
I think it should be the Kids from High School Musical.
And the aliens
have to go.
Have
to go in the aliens pick them
but
off.
But do they sing and dance as they're being yes. like, gobbled up? By
That's
Z-Mort?
Why the alien attacks them. All except Zach.
Zac Efron, yeah, save him. He's a treasure.
I'm excited. We're already getting one Jolie Andrews sequel with Mary Poppins Returns, obviously not played by Jolie Andrews. I'm ready for the next Jolie Andrews sequel.
Don't.
As Disney takes over, it'll be The Sound of Music Part 2. And we'll find out what happened
the
after they climbed
of music.
Over the mountain. So.
But what was funny is, like, when I did the tour, the ABD, I just got back from, those mountains, they lead to Germany. So the mountains they were climbing over, because, like, in real life, they got on a train and went to London and then, like, came to America. But them climbing over the mountain, they weren't heading to Switzerland. They were, oh, look, now we're in Germany. Guess what? We're screwed. So anyway.
But. So my husband, okay, so I have three characters. Fix-It Felix.
Okay.
Because he is Mr. Fix-It. He can fix anything.
I can see that.
Whether it be with websites or at home, like, you know, something manly, like a sink, I don't know. Mr. Incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And Goofy. He is so corny.
So it's like Mr. Incredible and Goofy had a love child.
And Fix-It Felix.
Okay.
He's got the hammer in
there. Yes, that golden hammer. He's going to fix it.
Somebody said they would say Pete is Geppetto. I don't know if I see that.
Does that make us all...
Or Stromboli. Yeah.
Charles, you remind me of Owl.
So now I'm a decrepit old Italian man?
I know you pretty well. I don't think you've ever thought about fashioning a wooden boy because you're lonely.
Well, I have one as a producer. I would need to fashion one.
Anyway, so we'll stay on that track, but somebody also said, what is something, it can be an attraction, a restaurant, resort, whatever, that you'd love to see, but you know would never happen? So this person said, Julie says, from her, it's a ride based on the wrong lever in Emperor's New Groove.
Oh my gosh, that would be great!
Yeah, and so I'm just trying to think, like, what? So it can be a movie, it can be whatever. What's a type of, like, resort or something that you think would be amazing for you, but you know in your heart they're never going to do it? I know. These questions are...
These are hard.
These involve some...
There's some stereotypical ones like this where people are still clamoring that one day they're going to make a Monsters, Inc. door roller coaster somewhere in Hollywood Studios. So kind of the same ideas that constantly get brought up. Like, they need to do this. And they're not going to. They're never going to.
I still, that Mary Poppins ride, that's what the thing I'm holding out hope for. And when people are like, oh, yeah, it's coming, I'm like, it's not.
That's a good one here. There's one that was brought up in a contributor article, and I cannot remember the contributor's name. I will the second the show is over. But it was about retheming the land in Epcot as a Wally ride, so that you would still get the tour through with the agriculture.
But with piles of garbage?
No, but the thing is, you would...
You
retheme it, so you still get the agriculture and the importance of it, as in the end of Wally, but you would do a full retheme with different characters and animation and stuff and doing a tour through it, so that you'd be able to keep the boring... living with the land that
I was just
gonna
say
to
I would
love
that if
but
that was living
you
with
would
the
retheme
land.
It to something that is also fun and exciting and that kids like, so, and the themes actually tie in together, and I heard that and was like, I love this idea, it'll never happen.
I would love if they revisited the Beastly Kingdom and like the villain theme park. That would be sweet, but I don't think that will happen anytime soon or ever. But
and I said it on another show at one point in time, a mini-sode, I would love for Liberty Square and then parts of Tom Sawyer Island to get taken over into a national treasure.
Yes. Yes.
I did say that. Where you follow, like, in the founding father's footsteps in Liberty Square, but then you have to go over to Tom Sawyer Island to find the La Belle Lady and all that crap over there. Like,
that should be like the Kingdom Keeper, the card game is what it should be like, but you go get your own Declaration of Independence that you have to...
Would there be a character meet with Nick Cage?
Yes.
He needs the money. He might show up.
I watched Ratatouille over the weekend, and I still fully believe it's one of the underrated Disney movies. I absolutely love Ratatouille. I love Remy, all the characters. I really wish that they would do something in France with Ratatouille, or really just find a rat that can cook. I would totally go there.
Just genetically engineer a cooking rat. We have the technology.
You'll love the ride when it comes out.
Let's see here. If you could pick a location in the continental United States for there to be another Disney theme park, since Steve Porter himself has declared it shall never happen here, where would you like to see it go? This question is from Jack I'm not going
to say. Wait, say this again.
Anywhere in the continental United States, you get one more Disney theme park. Where do you put it?
Tampa.
Tampa's not a place you go. It's a place you end up.
I'll take Trenton for $1,000, Alex. No,
maybe somewhere in the mountains.
I'd like to see somewhere with colder weather. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. I understand it won't have an all year round, but I'd love to take pictures of a place where there's potentially maybe going to be snow at some point.
Well, then for me, it'd be Salt Lake then, because then I could visit Michaela's family and have the mountains in the background.
That's really close to Disneyland. I mean, you know, like,
well,
in the grand
scheme. We're picking wherever we want.
You know what? I think it would have been really cool in Virginia when they were planning.
That's
that park.
People beg for the Texas thing a lot, and I don't particularly want it personally to be in Texas, but you know, when you're talking about weather, a lot of areas of Texas, it's warm still, but it's drier. You wouldn't have the snow that would affect outdoor attractions or anything like that. And it's, you could find a midway point so that every single person, people wouldn't have to travel as long or go to one of the coasts. So that's the argument for it. I don't know where in Texas I'd choose if they did that. But
what do you think, Craig?
I answered this on Connecting with Walt at one point. I don't remember what I said. I think I said Michigan.
I was thinking somewhere in that realm, somewhere like Midwest, like above, like somewhere over there. So you're, and I said Mojave Desert, just right in the middle. There's, and it defines the landscape for miles.
Yeah, I mean, it would probably be good in a place like an area that it could revive in the Rust Belt. That's probably a good idea too.
All right. That, ladies and gentlemen, is going to do it for this episode of our show. Thank you for the questions, everybody. Thank you for being with us. We will see you again next week with another episode of the Diz Unplugged. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, stay out of the damn lakes and go try the freestyle coke machine. It's already starting on Twitter.